Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having our one walk of the day today that we're allowed to have, sanctioned by the government. We decided to get up extra early today for our walk just to really minimise bumping into people. We've done very well so far. We've hardly seen anyone, but today we're out in the hills very early. We've been walking uphill for 40 minutes and we've not seen a soul and we still can't see anyone around. So I think this is a good plan from now on. Anyway, today's podcast, we wanted to discuss something that we're seeing people say quite a lot, which you think is wrong and potentially damaging, which is that we shouldn't be politicising this pandemic and the response to the pandemic. But the thing is, especially here in the UK, the response to the pandemic has been so dreadful that many, many thousands of people have died and will die as a result of the government's awful lack of response. And if you refer to our previous podcast about the Operation Cygnus, where they did a pandemic drill and in 2016, and it was discovered that they absolutely weren't prepared for a pandemic, particularly completely lacking in PPE and ventilators, and the government's response to this report and many pleadings from the NHS was to do absolutely nothing. So this is not just politics for politics' sake, and it's not just politics. This is actually now life and death, not for the Labour voters or the Tory voters or the Brexiteers, but for everybody on the planet. But seeing as we're particularly talking about the people here in the UK, it is a matter of life and death for us all. This is now well beyond just being politics. We are not doing any of these podcasts just for political point scoring or politics for politics' sake. As I said, it's a matter of life and death, and not just now, but if something doesn't change very drastically, all of this will probably happen again. I mean, there is absolutely no guarantees that there won't be another pandemic next year. All of this could happen again. So this is our response to anyone who is hotly saying that we shouldn't politicise this and we should just carry on, keep calm, do our best and do what the government tells. So what would be your response to these people who are saying these lines?
Well, I'll try and keep some decorum.
And not swear too much.
And not swear too much. Well, I mean, an example is in order. Somebody said the other day to me over social media that the virus is just this dumb thing. It doesn't vote Labour or Conservative. It has no concept of Labour and Conservative. And of course that is true. It is completely dumb. Contrary to what Trump says, oh, we have this very intelligent enemy, but we're more intelligent, we'll beat it. Fucking idiot.
Well, actually, to be fair to him, Trump is slightly more intelligent than a virus.
Not much
considering
more.
Considering a virus has no brain.
Yeah. And in fact, the thing is basically a machine. You know, people argue whether it's alive or not. But well, it's a self-replicating entity. And it only does those very few small tasks, you know. It infects opportunistically, hosts, and invades or infects the host, particularly the cells of the host, in order to replicate itself by turning the cells of the host into a factory to produce its very own genetic material. And then it reproduces and then seeks to, well, it doesn't seek to do anything, just then it's in the environment and where it can opportunistically infect again. That's all it does. It lives to reproduce, that's it. Full stop. It's dumb. But using the dumb nature of the virus to construct an argument for treating the pandemic. Apolitically, it just doesn't hold. Because what the politics is about, the politics isn't about the virus, the politics is about pandemics in general. Black swan events in general. Human life in general. And there's no way it can be divorced from history or current context of social organisation, political values, public discourse and all the rest of the paraphernalia of human life. It doesn't happen in isolation from those. And I can agree that maybe in a time of national emergency that's a very, very petty party political point scoring, the yah, boo, knockabout that passes for politics, that there might be a case for not worrying about that too much or putting that on one side. There might be a case for that. But when we say politics, we mean big politics. And here's why it's political. It's political because a very widely held ideology across the planet that is held by rich, influential, powerful people, and is held by people who are in government, leaves governments in general unprepared to deal with black swan events. We've been told for 40 years that that government is bad. And I'm a bit of an anarchist, and I'm inclined to agree. Governments do bad things. But when it comes to focusing collective energy to deal with the big stuff that can't be dealt with by individuals, that can't be dealt with by small communities, that needs concerted focus of energy, for that you need government. And for pandemics, you need preparation. Pandemics have swept across the planet since time immemorial. You know, they're not sort of super frequent. They're really bad ones, like the Black Death, which probably wiped out half the population of the planet in the 14th century. But they do occur. We know they're going to occur. There are scientists all over the planet, small groups, with great expertise, trying to spot the next one before it even gets out of animal populations and into the human population, as it should be. But this is something that has to be coordinated internationally and needs resources thrown at it in the context of a global ideology that says the government doesn't do stuff like that because only markets and corporations can sort stuff out. Markets do things efficiently, governments do them inefficiently. This is the doctrine. And that's the ideological reason why we've been caught hopping. It's because of a stupid idea, which is actually, when you examine it, magical thinking and propaganda based on magical thinking in the service of a class project. That class project being the accrual of greater and greater wealth and power. Always remember, wealth is power. By a very, very small number of people. And the world is an oligarchy of those people. They naturally, to pursue their interests, capture governments. And they don't want to spend any money. This is why it's political, because there's a political philosophy underneath it all, which at the ideological level is culpable. I mean, at the material level, you've got such phenomena as the slow, stealth privatisation of the National Health Service. And our current Tory government have been very proactive in that project. I would say, again, and I'm saying this in every podcast, watch John Pilger's film, The Dirty War on the NHS. It's very well researched. And Pilger is a proper journalist. You can rely on him. Watch it if you want to know what's happened. But of course that has fragmented the NHS. And then the idiocy of austerity, the idea that we've all got to tighten our belts, tighten our pay rises, have all our public services whittled down to the bone, because the bankers fucked up in 2008 and crashed the global economy.
And were then bailed out by the government.
Were bailed out by the government to the extent that Goldman Sachs, for instance, made 30 billion out of a global catastrophe. They always win, you know. And that was allowed to happen because powerful governments across the West allowed finance capital to do what it liked. They deregulated it, starting with Clinton repealing the Glass-Steagall in the late 80s. The Glass-Steagall Act, which put some kind of hobble on rampant finance capital. Basically what it did, it separated high street banks from investment banks. It made them sort of keep those two operations at arm's length, so they weren't gambling with your savings. So there's this huge context, which is, fucking hell, if that's not political, nothing is. But where we're at now, why we have some thousands dead, 1,000 a day almost, 900 yesterday, 900 and some a day before, 800 and some a day before.
Which is only the deaths that are counted in hospitals. Yeah. Remember, many, many people are dying at home and in care homes, and they're not that included in these figures as yet.
Yeah. Over and against New Zealand with one death. I know the context is different, it's a small population. But nevertheless, it's still telling, it shows that what could have been.
Yeah.
Much less of a catastrophe.
Yeah.
A catastrophe because government was not ready. It's been told to be ready.
We're still having flights coming in from highly infectious areas with no quarantine, no checks
at the airport.
Whereas New Zealand locked down everything.
Yeah.
They didn't let anyone in the country. Yeah. Only people who were returning to New Zealand and they were
quarantined for 14 days.
They were quarantined, even if they didn't have any symptoms.
So they were able, for a number of reasons, able to get on here. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a perfect government or any of that kind of stuff, but I'm saying that it was mismanaged, and it was mismanaged in a political context, in the context of a political philosophy, and in the context of political actions designed to further enrich the already stupidly rich over a period of 40 years. And so it is politics. It is very, very much politics.
And even if Labour had won the election this time and had a much more caring Prime Minister who would have done everything possible to save people's lives and suddenly wouldn't have gone for this ridiculous herd immunity idea. It wouldn't have mattered so much because the NHS is in such a state anyway that even with the very, very best intentions, there would have been less deaths, certainly, but it still would have been a disaster because the NHS has been underfunded for 10 years and crushed and crushed and crushed.
I mean, one of the things that did with this austerity was cut numbers of doctors and number of nurses, and there's a huge shortfall in nurses. And okay, in the run up to the election, they said they were going to make it good. But you know, I think it's more like 40,000 nurses shortfall. And it's in that context. Now, austerity was actually a political idea and not an economic idea. It's not economically necessary. They said, oh, there's no magic money tree for nurses to have a pay rise. The Tories voted down an act in Parliament to give nurses a pay rise not so very long ago, and they all clapped when it was defeated. This is the kind of arseholes that they are. And that in previous times, not so long ago, nurses got a bursary. If you became a student nurse, you got a bursary. And because nursing is now a degree-level occupation. You'd go and get your nursing degree. But they also go and work on the wards. And so they were given a bursary to pay their way through nursing school. I think given the role they play in society, an absolutely essential role, unlike hedge fund manager, that it would be sensible from the point of view of the social good to pay them to be trained which is what we used to do, and which neoliberal ideology says you don't do, because there's no such thing as society. Society doesn't take action to further its collective good. It expects individuals to pursue their own individual self-interest, and that will magically fulfil the needs of society. So therefore they can pay, because they will get, you know, they're probably going to get good jobs, and they might be well-paid jobs. I mean, there are some well-paid jobs in nursing, but mostly they're not.
No.
So that's the kind of story, and that's a political story. So we've got the context, just to recap there, we have the, why it's political. It's happened in the context of in the UK, and the rundown of the health service as a deliberate policy, because they think private is better than public, because there's a long-term goal of an American-style healthcare system in the UK, which can be turned to profit by investment funds, by capitalists, by capitalist arseholes. In the context of austerity, and in the context of a philosophy that says that the government should do as little as possible, in the context of deregulation of finance capital, it's inevitable that when something like a pandemic hit the country, that it was going to run away and become catastrophic, when we know from the performance of other countries that it's possible to do a lot better. 500 deaths in South Korea, right on the doorstep of China, 500 deaths. Less lockdown, because they were testing, driving, testing. Test and trace is the way to go. We're going to eliminate it, or get near towards eliminating. So I say that our government is condemned. This is not a petty party political point. And it's condemned for reasons of political philosophy, political action, and economic, concrete, material action in the light of a toxic, malignant, and actually stupid political philosophy and economic philosophy. So, you think it's not political? Grow up. Do some studying. Stop being an arsehole. One other thing I want to say about it is that this centrism, this even-handedness, this notion of like the national good, you know, or the national interest, it's complete bullshit. It plays right into the hands of the far right. Now, we know that this has shaken everything up globally, this pandemic, and the economic consequences of it, which are the biggest global crash ever in the economy. That the right will try and grab a power grab. Because you get a shake-up, you get sort of political vacuums. The far right, has been getting its shit together for years, forming a right international. You know, Steve Bannon is a very big player in this. He's also a big player in Cambridge Analytica. He was also Trump's campaign manager and held some office for a while in the Trump government. And has busied himself coordinating far-right activity across the planet. The right will jump in. They've already took advantage of the situation in Hungary. Orban, who is a rampant anti-Semite, far-right, fundamentalist, rampant capitalist, ethno-nationalist, has got his parliament to vote him unlimited executive powers forever, on the excuse that these are needed to control the pandemic. It's happened already. Somebody jumped into the vacuum. Somebody weaponised the chaos to jump in.
And become a dictator.
If the left isn't ready, and by the left I don't necessarily mean like the lie, a narrow sense of the left. I mean people of goodwill who believe that there is such a thing as society, really, not cynically like Johnson, really. You know, and that society means global society. This thing can only be tackled ultimately internationally, just like climate. Can only be tackled internationally by a coordinated and cooperative effort between governments all across the planet. That's what I mean by society. I don't mean Wales or Gwynedd or the United Kingdom or Europe. I mean the world society, the community of humans on this planet. That matters. Well, I think the human enterprise matters. I just do. I'm romantic like that. You know, I suppose if you're going to be very hard and calculating, you'd think, fuck it. You know, let the cockroaches have a go. So that's where I'm at. The apolitical thing, of course, just leaves that vacuum. It just leaves it. It's just passive. And the Orbans of this world will jump in, and we've already seen it.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen if we spiritually bypass, or we're just passive here.
Yeah, or we come out with shit arguments like, oh, the virus doesn't know Labour from Conservative. It's not about Labour and Conservative, it's about big politics.
I mean, we shouldn't politicise this as a shit argument as well, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. I'm going to politicise the absolute.
And we're doing this so that anybody who is encountering this argument has plenty of ammunition to argue very coherently back, and hopefully convince that person that actually it is a political issue and it's really important.
I'm afraid I kind of just tires me just to hear it for the hundredth time, you know. And I just say, I'm sorry, it's ineluctably political. You know.
And when I said before that this is a life or death situation here now for everyone, I know many young people think, oh, it's not a life or death situation for me. But here's the thing. You could be young. You could have maybe had COVID-19 already and recovered. Let's say you now get appendicitis and you're going to die if you don't get your appendix removed. But there is no one at the hospital available to give you that operation because they're all either off sick, they're just desperately busy trying to save lives in the COVID unit, or they unfortunately, many of our doctors and nurses are dying because of lack of protective equipment. So you could turn up and there could be nobody to help you.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the secondary fallout, the secondary wave of deaths. That's going to happen, that could have been prevented. Yeah. Going to be people with other things who won't be able to get help.
Yeah.
And as another political issue here, doctors and nurses are being told that they will be sacked if they complain about the fact that they don't have proper protective equipment that they actually need in order to save their own lives.
Indeed. So if you're a bit of a lefty, get your shit together. It could be a case of like talking to other people. At least, you know, this is actually a good opportunity for, given that we do have the means of communication, for forming networks and alliances and having discussions and all the rest of it. As Michael Moore said, you know, with all this being locked down, we've got loads of time to think about some shit.
Yeah. Well, this is like partly what I've been thinking about. This is that there's millions of people sitting at home with nothing to do right now.
Yeah.
And everybody is going to be looking at the news. They're all going to be wanting to be anxious, and they want to know what's happening and what's going on. So they're paying more attention than normal.
Yeah.
And given that our mainstream media is mentioning the kind of things that we're actually been mentioning about the appalling treatment of people in care homes who are being left to die, basically. I've really noticed that the BBC and Channel 4 are not going to let them get away with just killing off the elderly this time.
Yeah.
They keep mentioning it and they keep mentioning it, which is good for them. But these very same people, if this catastrophe had happened under a Labour government, they would have attacked Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour government far more than they've been attacking the Tories. So, you know.
You've got to be a bit careful with getting over-enthusiastic about...
Yeah, I'm not over-enthusiastic, but I'm still glad that they're saying what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All those deaths, all the elderly people who were just really being left to die in the care homes as well. You know, this is a very big matter of life or death for those people.
Yeah.
And I think if we'd had a very well-funded NHS that really had been given everything it needed, then those people could have been protected.
Yeah.
And if there'd been a more organised
social
response,
care.
Oh yeah, and social care, which has been cut to the bone, a more organised response with the social care, I think they could have been properly cocooned, like the government promised they would be, but in fact they're absolutely, it's like the opposite.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, just one other reason why it's political. It's political because it's not democratic. We keep being told that the virus is democratic. Johnson got it. He's a kind of minor tough, and he got it. He's the Prime Minister. He got it. You know. So they're using that to claim that it's democratic. The virus is democratic. We're all equally subject to it. Actually, we're not all equally subject to it. If you're an old person in a council home somewhere and the staff are all off sick and they're bringing in the agency people who have to go around to other places, and I mean, it's just, you're going to get it. In one care home the other day, 15 people died in a very short space of time. 15? One care home?
Yeah.
You know, that's not equal. And of course, the rich, particularly the super rich, have already fucked off. Boris Johnson's dad, who's pretty rich, is holding up in his 500-acre estate in Devon. He probably wasn't supposed to drive there, but he did.
Sure, he wasn't stopped by the police and told to go back
home. Yeah, well, if he did, he'd say, I'm Stanley Johnson, and they'd let him through, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know. According to Slavoj Žižek, who's got these contacts in New York, the super rich people in New York have already gone to Caribbean islands. And there was one famous billionaire puts a tweet here, said, this is where I'm spending my my lockdown, whatever it's called. I'm isolating. And he's photographed of his, you know,
£500 million yacht.
Yeah, out in the Sargasso, so, you know. Was Aaron Bastani says, well, it's all very well, but you're going to run out of water eventually, mate. You know, they can just having a lot of money means you can. It's not foolproof, but it means it gives you a much better chance of staying out of harm's way, and that is a fact of life. You know, in the US, it's disproportionately affecting African Americans. Why is that? You might ask. Well. There's a great, because of social deprivation stemming from racism, there are more underlying conditions in the African American population, you know, heart disease, diabetes, and so forth, you know. African Americans are disproportionately represented amongst frontline workers. And so they're having more exposure. There is no truth in this thing that they're pushing, that it's democratic. And I suppose Johnson getting it ostensibly is a useful piece of information to push the notion that the virus is democratic. It fucking isn't. So there's an issue of equality. Well, she's one of the big political issues, isn't it? One of the big political issues, as determined by the French Revolution, freedom, equality and fraternity. So there's another political issue. And I say it's one of the big ones, equality. You know, it's a question, a big political question. If the people who are disproportionately in harm's way in this pandemic crisis have got any sense, they will be pushing when the dust has settled on the pandemic, or maybe even before, for that inequality to be moderated. Of course, if they haven't got any sense, they'll just say, oh, yes, master. You know?
And vote for Trump again.
Vote for Trump. Carry on with
vote for Johnson again.
Carry on with the Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
But let's hope that it's lifted the scales off at least some people's eyes, and I think it has.
Yeah. Johnson got medical help with absolutely no problem.
Of course he did.
But there's a prominent story of a nurse who'd been a nurse for 20 years, was very ill. They phoned the NHS four times to try and get him into hospital, and they kept saying that they didn't have space, or he maybe wasn't bad enough. But he ended up just dying at home, just literally choked to death.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when the lungs are so compromised.
Yeah.
Just died in a really horrible way. They tried four times to get him to hospital for medical help. Johnson straight in, no trouble.
Yeah. Well, he's the Prime Minister, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, this is an addendum I'm making at home. And it's concerned to draw your attention to yet another political aspect of the pandemic crisis. Now, in the UK and in the US, I'm not sure exactly what's going down in Europe, but certainly in the UK and in the US, the financial aid which is being granted by our governments to small businesses and to workers who are being unemployed or furloughed as a result of the crisis, and the way in which the crisis has pretty well led to shutdowns of big swathes of the economies, that too is very, very unequal. And therefore, this is a political matter. The net result is that basically the vast majority of the money which is being injected into the economy as a stimulus is going to go to the big banks, basically, as it did in 2008, that the bailout went to the culprits. And in this case, the bailout is going to go to the already obscenely rich. Richard Wolff, if you look him up on YouTube, has analysed this in quite a bit of fine detail. He's a very astute economist, very learned economist, and he knows exactly how this stuff is panning out. But basically, in the US, the Fed is printing money and giving it to the banks, and the banks are lending it out at very, very low interest, and the corporations are borrowing it to do stock buybacks, which increases their stock price. So that's the paper value of the companies. And the executives are generally contracted in such a way that they get bonuses based on the stock price. So it's a complete fiddle. Whereas down home, people are getting very little. Certainly in the UK, if you've got a small business, you're not seeing any money until at least June. And what the government has said that they'll do is, if you've got 3 years of accounts with the tax authorities, that they will pay you 80% of the average profit over the 3 years, up to £2,500 per month, or 80% of £2,500 per month, and pay this directly into your bank account as a lump sum, no earlier than June. So you're looking at waiting for 3 months. If you don't have the 3 years books, you're going to fall through the cracks. And a lot of people are just falling through the cracks. I mean, it's bad enough that in the meantime you have to borrow money to tide you over, probably. And just like the US, the UK has very, very many people with no emergency money to tide them over more than sometimes a few days or a couple of weeks of emergency. So again, the inequality is there. It's going to hit small businesses, the lone traders, the zero hours people. I think if you're laid off, that you have to apply for universal credit, and a million people have applied. The system's not up to dealing with the usual flow of people needing unemployment benefit and welfare in general, let alone such a huge number of people as are now suddenly left with no immediate income as a result of the pandemic. The upshot again is that the hardship is very, very unevenly distributed. This is a political matter.
So anyway, there's a few good arguments if you have any friends, which most of us probably do by now, who were saying that this shouldn't be a political issue and we shouldn't politicise this at all. And I hope that's useful. All right, stay safe, everyone, and we will be reporting back from the Welsh Hills at some point very soon.